Well, thank you, Brother Cruz. We need to keep that in mind. Somebody said a Christian ought to be admonished that sometimes we're the only Bible that the lost world sees when they look at us. Amen. Well, tonight I want you to go with me. We're going to be a little bit of a kind of an in-house thing tonight, talking to ourselves maybe a little bit. Matthew chapter 26, going to take a familiar story and talk about it some here tonight. I want to talk to you on the subject, coasting down. How many of you ever got into a soapbox derby race? Anybody? Let me see your hands. The only power you had was going downhill, right? Coasting. Well, most of us understand what we're talking about when we say that, coasting down. It takes power to do anything except coast. And here's the sad thing about coasting. You can only coast so far. When the hill runs out, that's where you're going to stop. Amen. I think about it a little bit and apply it a little bit to where we're at today. And it's a sad situation in the world today, no doubt. But that's the way the world works. Jesus said that. He said, you know, lay not up your treasures and here on earth where rust and moth doth corrupt. It's always a downhill coasting and running out of energy, running out of time in this old world. It works that way. There's a second law of thermodynamics that says everything tends to run down. That the chaos in a system only grows worse with time. Now, that denies any possibility of evolution. Evolution tries to teach that man is getting better all the time. Takes somebody pretty stupid to believe that. Really does. We didn't come from the puddle and we're on our way to paradise. We came from paradise back to the puddle. That's the depravity of man. That's the fallen nature of man. That's the law of entropy that does that running down thing. I picked this up just a while ago. It's a disc of some kind, Becker Academy disc. I thought for you folks that had a hard time understanding what I just said, I'd illustrate it. Now, this is what you miss by not being in church on Sunday night, a great illustration like this. Amen. I stuck my ballpoint pen through the hole in this disc, DVD. And watch close now. Can you see it turning? Can you see it turning? But it stopped. Try it again. Turning. But it's coasting down. Try it again. You know what? It done it again. It takes some power to make it keep going, don't it? It'll just stop every time. It'll go a little while, but it'll stop. How many of you have experienced this in your Christian life? The tendency to coast down, to grow cold, to grow lax, to let apathy set in. You say, well, what would it take to fix that? Well, about the time you start to run out of power, you need another shot, and another shot, and another shot. I'd say maybe one at least every Sunday, maybe twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday night. Amen. To keep it going. Get the point? Truth is, and I look around today, I see a lot of coasting down. I'm going to read a text here in Matthew 26 concerning Peter. Peter had the problem I'm talking about, same problem we all got, amen? Says in verse 57 of Matthew 26, of course, it's the crucifixion setting. Christ has been betrayed in the garden. And it says in verse 57, they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now, you know, Jesus himself predicted Christianity was going to be coasting down when he came back. In Luke 18, about verse 8, Jesus made this statement. He said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? He was answering his own question that it's going to be lessened. It's going to be coasting down. In Matthew 24, Jesus said again about verse 12 or 15 there, right in that area. In Matthew 24, he said, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will grow cold or wax cold. Now, if you've been a Christian long, you've been faithful in church long, you know exactly what Jesus was talking about. Now, I know it's summertime here in Haines City. I know we're about the lowest the last two Sundays we've been. Bus is the lowest I've seen them in many, many years. And I understand that. And but don't just get the idea that the preacher says, well, we're low, we're in the valley, woe is me. No, no, no. What I'm talking about, I've been watching for a good long time. It's a trend. Back when the building was full in the winter, I still never in my whole ministry seen so much of this thing of apathy and folks just growing lax and losing the first love and just falling out by the wayside. I'm not talking about new converts. We expect them to have a time to grow. I'm talking about people that raise sometimes in church. I'm talking about people that know better. I'm talking about people that at some time or another serve God, and yet they seem to be falling away. And that's a sad thing. I hate to see it. Now, I'm looking at the story of Peter right here, and I'm going to go through it with you. Just keep your Bible open. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I may go to some other verses in it. But I see Peter here. The Lord has been denied in the garden. He's had Judas come up and betray him, and the disciples have gone to sleep, and now they've run away, and it's a time of confusion. And Peter, that bragged so big about how he'd be willing to die for the Lord, is ultimately going to deny him, as we see here in the story. So it says here, but Peter followed. I like that part, verse 58. He followed him. Now, that's commendable. It speaks well of Peter, because if you look back in verse 56, it says, then all the disciples forsook him. So Peter is outstanding right here. At least he is following the Lord. When the others fled for their lives, he's following. That part's good, but then the text is one of disappointment, because it tells how he followed. How did he follow? It tells he followed afar off. Watching, trailing, but not up there with him. Following him afar off. I see so many people today. Yeah, they follow to a degree, but afar off. Not close. Not really right in the battle, but just kind of spectating, just kind of watching, following afar off. And so many like that today. You say, what do you mean? Well, you can tell. If somebody has got a hot heart for God, if they're following the Lord close, you're going to see them pretty regular in his house. You're going to know. They're going to show their love. I look around today, and I've never seen the church treated so casually and so carelessly as it's treated today. It's that day and time that we live in, folks. You know, I'm not talking about new converts. I'm not talking about lost people who are not commanded to come to church. I'm talking about those that know the Lord Jesus, claim to be saved, and have served even through the years, and all of a sudden, a coldness. Wanting to quit. Or they wouldn't plain say, I'm going to quit, but they just quit. They just drop out. Now, in our large membership, and we can look around, and I challenge you folks, we all ought to try to lift up the fallen and encourage those that are growing cold, but we have to admit there's a coldness that slipped in, and good people are tripping up that we, in many cases, never would have thought would, but they are, and that's sad. That is sad. You know, they actually quit the church and Yet they don't want the church to close. That's a strange thing, isn't it? They still love to have it around. They might need it for a wedding. They might need it for a funeral. They might need to call the preacher and have him go visit one of their loved ones who hadn't been in church in 6 months. They still want it around. They don't want it to close up, but they want somebody else to keep it open. They want somebody else to pay the bills. They want somebody else to do the job, but they themselves have just don't have time for it anymore. Just slipping back. And glad others have kept it open, but they kind of want a free ride. There's not many places anymore that has parking meters, but some do. Do you remember the times that you were hunting a parking place and you pulled up to a place that had a parking meter and you parked your car and you got out and the meter, somebody else had left time on it? Anybody done it? Didn't you feel good? Save the quarter. Free ride, free parking. I see some folks that treat church that way. They're glad somebody else fed the meter. They're glad the doors are still open. They're glad some needs can still be met. But don't ask me to put my quarter in. Amen. I hate to say that, but I'm just talking truth now. We're talking on a Sunday night here and talking to God's faithful. But we see that. Now, what happened? I'll tell you what they did. In following afar off, they lost sight of what the real cause is. David said when his brothers was cowing before the giant, he said, is there not a cause? And we do have a cause, don't we, folks? Isn't the cause to send the gospel around the world? To reach somebody like we got reached? Isn't that a cause? Now, the folks that drop out, never tithe, never come, never give, they're saying forget that cause. Not worthwhile any longer. Isn't there a cause to teach our kids right how to live and how not to live? Isn't there a cause involved there? Sure there is. But they lost sight of that cause. They lost sight of the fact it's God's cause. It's important. It's real. I'm looking at Peter here now. Thank God he followed. I'm sad he was falling afar off. Now look how he fell. It wasn't a sudden decision with Peter. Peter was a little confused. I'll give him some credit. The Lord at one point had said, bring a sword. Peter had brought a sword. The confrontation takes place in the garden. And Peter grabs the sword and swings at the servant's head. I think the guy ducked. Instead of getting his head, he got his ear. And then Jesus rebuked Peter for doing that and reached down and put the man's ear back on. Peter was confused. What am I supposed to do? And you know something? We don't always understand the Lord's ways, but we're supposed to trust him anyway. And Peter got in trouble when he had a better idea than Jesus had and when he wanted to do it his way instead of the way Jesus wanted to do it. And so it brought confusion on him. And I look around today and I see a lot of God's people, church members in particular, act like if I can't understand everything God's doing, then I just give up. No, you trust him anyway. Job said, I trust him though he slay me. You trust God anyhow. Know that he knows right. And he fell here, not with a sudden decision. It moved on him in his thinking patterns. And it moved on him because he ignored the warning the Lord had given him too. Turn back with me to verse 41 in this same chapter, chapter 26, Matthew. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He was going out to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew Judas was going to betray him. He knew all about that. And he's warning the disciples to stay awake while he's praying and watching. And then in verse 41, it says, watch and pray. That's what Jesus said. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. That was Peter's warning, but he didn't heed it. Flesh is weak. You know, I've stood behind this same pulpit here 44 years. Part of my job has been to get the gospel out. Part of my job has been to try to disciple people. Part of my job has been sometime to rebuke. Part of my job is to sometime expose corruption. Part of my job behind this pulpit is to warn about sin, consequences of sin, the pain that sin brings, the damage that sin does, to warn about it. I've had all kind of people sit in these pews, and some have taken the warning, and some have ignored the warning, and some have experienced, by ignoring the warning, the bad consequences of it. Too bad. Too bad, that's true. But it is. Peter, he ignored the warning. The Lord had given him the warning. Sure he had. I think about Paul over in Acts chapter 20. Paul was saying his goodbye message to the Ephesian elders. And over in Acts chapter 20, he said something that most preachers can relate to as he preached his last message to them. And over in chapter 20 and in verse 21, it says over there, Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said over there, he said, I have warned you day and night. Now, the truth of the matter is that any good preacher is going to do some warning. Any good preacher is going to warn because he loves. You know what? When you warn a kid about touching a hot stove, it's because you love him. When you warn a kid about not running out in the traffic, it's because you love him. When the Lord gives us a warning about sin, it's because he loves us. And we ought to heed the warning. And Peter here had a warning. He was told to watch and pray. Paul told the Ephesian elders over here, I've been faithful. I've preached to you night and day. And I've warned you with tears. But he said, when I leave, grievous wolves are going to come in. And that happened if you study that. By the way, let me drop an observation here. We live in a day and time, especially with Facebook now and all the social media. We live in a day and time when preachers are under attack and criticism like never, ever before. And you got a crowd out there that don't want to heed the warning. Instead, they want to attack the messenger and find something wrong with the messenger. I've pastored this church 44 years. I'll make it in January, be 45. In that length of time, by the grace of God, I haven't stolen your money. I haven't run off with another woman. I haven't robbed a bank. So far, I haven't killed anybody. Keep praying for me. But there's a crowd that wish I had done all of that because they felt like it would justify their lifestyle if I would mess up. You're looking at the wrong one. My badness would not increase your goodness. If you could find my badness and expose it, it would make you no better in the eyes of God. So when you lie about it, pretend it's true, pretend I've got an excuse for quitting because the preacher did so and so, you're way off track. Way off track. Every now and then I joke a little about it, but it's not much of a joke. I'm not sure this ministry could ever been built if the social media had been as available in the early years as it is right now. The way it gets used. Every now and then somebody says to me, what are you going to do about this, that, or the other? I said, well, go look on Facebook. They'll tell you what I'm about to do. They know ahead of me. I think the best thing for me to do is find out how to get the message so I know what to do, Brother Scotty. It's amazing what they predict I'm going to do or always say I'm going to do or lie about what I am doing. Be a lot easier for me just to, you know, I could chop down on my prayer life and Bible reading if you'll just go ahead and inform me what it is I'm going to do. You say you're being facetious. I'm being a little bit aggravated with it, but nothing else I can do about it. Amen. Truth of the matter is that goes on all the time. Little minds dreaming up little junk and garbage while the world's going to hell in a big way, zeroing in on their little wicked, and that's what it is, imaginations. What a shame. What a shame, especially when I'm talking about many cases church members. I'm talking about ones that would tell you I'm a good Christian. But they're coasting down in their spiritual life because they're giving in to the temptation that Jesus was warning Peter about, and that's the flesh. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen?
That's what he said. Now I look here at how he fell, and he did fall. And you know, when you coast down away from God, it's going to cost you. It really is. It'll cost you. People that drift away from God often look for a scapegoat. They look to try to justify. Later on, Peter did that before the day of Pentecost. You read the last verses of the book of John. Lord Jesus had brought him back from his wild fishing trip he shouldn't have gone on. And the Lord Jesus is talking to his disciples. I'm not going to read it to you. You can read your own Bible. But last part of the book of John, you read over there where Jesus told Peter to feed his sheep, to serve him. You know what Peter said? He pointed at John and he said, Lord, what shall this man do? I heard what you told me to do, but I'm wondering if he's getting a better deal. I'm wondering if he's carrying a lot of load. What's this man going to do, Lord? And the Lord, if I could paraphrase it, said, none of your business. What did I tell you to do? Now you read it and see if that's not in there. That's between the lines. That's in the Greek. Anytime a preacher wants to say something, it's in the Greek. Bunch of baloney most of the time. Most of the time, all it is. But anyway, make an excuse, make a lie, try to justify it. Try to justify it as though it's going to excuse me. Now, there is such a thing as believers standing before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, answering for the deeds done in the body. Now, can you imagine the foolishness of the excuses that's going to be heard at the judgment seat? I probably don't really have time for this, but I'm gonna attempt to illustrate this just a little bit. Doug, you and Daniel, come up here a minute. Now, I hadn't said a word to them. Give me this microphone, please. Just come up here and do what I tell you, and don't do any more than I tell you. All right, let me see. Doug, you stand up. Loan him your Bible. He didn't bring his Bible, Brother Perkins. Loan him your Bible. Just stand here with it open. Daniel, I want you to come around and kind of face me right here. Now, folks, I want you to use your imagination. I'm going to be the rewarding angel behind the judgment seat. This is going to be a Christian that has come up. This is going to be the recording angel, and he's got the book open. Got it? Got the scene now? You see it? All right, good. Now, he is a believer, but the last number of years that he lived before the rapture took place, he was backslidden. So now he's standing before the judgment seat looking for a reward. And so as the rewarding angel, I'm going to go over here to where the book is, and I'm going to look in the book. And I'm going to say, well, Daniel, you were a believer for 20 years. Is that right? Okay. But Daniel, I read right here the last 10 years that you coasted down and drifted out on God. And Daniel, I look here where you quit tithing. And I look here where you quit soul winning. And I look here where you quit attending church. I look here where you just gave up the Lord's cause completely. Now, what do you have to say about it? Whisper to me. He gave me an answer. You know what he said? He said somebody offended him. So you quit serving God because somebody offended you. Does that mean the cause of Christ was no more good? Does that mean the missionaries need not be sent anymore because you got offended? Does it mean that the church door should have closed because somebody offended you? You know, Daniel, you're not going to get that reward the Lord had for you if you'd stayed faithful. You got any other thing to say? Okay. You wanted to go somewhere else where they weren't so strict. Yeah. You wanted to go somewhere else where you could just go once a week and nobody would notice. I'm sorry, Daniel, but you've missed another big reward. Because didn't God's word say that you're not to forsake the assembling of yourself together? And didn't the Lord warn you that there would be a laxness and a coldness in the last days? Well, I look in the book here. You started well, but you sure blew it on the end. But didn't that King James Bible tell you, let no man take your reward, and that you receive a full reward? I'm sorry, Daniel. Go back to your seat. You didn't get anything. Thank you, man. And you say, that's corny, preacher. Uh-huh. Just imagine yourself in Daniel's shoes. How many people have you seen raised in church, served, and where they're at now? How many people have you seen that God gave talent to that they once used for God, but they haven't in a long time? Young people, listen to me. You know what will keep you in church is your faith being real with the Lord. You won't go long on your mom and dad's faith. It's got to be your own. As soon as you graduate school and, you know, the next thing you want to do, you want to get away from mom and dad because maybe they're insisting that you come to church, you'll coast down real fast. You'll just drift right on downhill and run out of gas. You'll stop. Next thing you know, unless it's real to you, is your faith real to you? Mom and dad's faith's not going to get you to heaven. It's certainly not going to get you a reward at the judgment seat if it's real to you. Truth of the matter is, what I'm talking about tonight, it's not a lot of fun preaching, not a place to shout a lot of hallelujah, but the truth of the matter is, it's a hurting thing in our day right now. The very thing that we're talking about, that we're seeing. Now you follow the text in the story here with Peter a little bit, and you see how he followed. That was good, but disappointing. He followed afar off. And then you see how he fell. He didn't heed the Lord's warning. And then you see the outcome of falling afar off. You find him sitting in a hostile crowd. That's the outcome. You know, folks that'll leave and quit serving God in a good church and just occasionally go to another one, you know, pretty soon they'll drift out of that. The next thing you know, they'll be in a crowd they would have never imagined they'd have been in. Here's Peter sitting there warming his hands at the devil's fire, sitting there with the wrong crowd, with the enemies of Christ, and he don't belong there, but there he is. He's backslid to the place, he's fallen. It didn't take him long. This is all in one night. And he's sitting in a hostile crowd. You know what happened? Let's look at it. Pick it up in verse 69 of chapter 26. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Man, is he sinking fast. He's coasting down fast. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid, that's two of them now, saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied, with an oath this time. Now he cusses this time. He denied with an oath. Hey, he was an old fisherman. He'd been saved. He knew how to cuss. And you, by the Holy Spirit's grace, can quit doing it, but it's still down in there. The devil can still find it when you give him a chance. And he found it here with Peter. He denied with an oath, I do not know the man. A lie, of course. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, more than the maids now, and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them. Watch it now. for thy speech betrayeth thee. Well, he'd been with Jesus long enough, he started talking like a saved person. He learned the church language, the Christian language, hadn't he? And they said, hey, we recognize you sound like, but he's going to change that now. Going to change it now. Your speech betrays you. Verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Hadn't Jesus warned him that you'll deny me thrice before the cock crows? That's what Jesus had warned him, and all of a sudden the cock crows. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, that's not all there is to it. There's a little bit more if you turn over to Luke, parallel passage right here. Turn over to Luke, or turn over to Luke chapter 22. Chapter 22. Same story, same backsliding Peter, same hostile crowd that he's in. Verse 60 of chapter 22 of Luke. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Now watch verse 61. This is a little more than Matthew tells you. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Wow, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? The rooster crows, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine the one that said, I'll die for you? Yet, by the time the rooster crows, he's denied the Lord three times. Can you imagine how he felt when the Lord looked at him? Hey, we are going to have the Lord look at us. He's looking at us now. But just like I had Daniel up here at the judgment seat, you're going to look at him one day. We are going to answer for the deeds done in the body, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Yes, we are. And I don't know about you, I dread it. I dread it for a lot of reasons, but I want to tell you this much. To the best of my ability, by the grace of God, I don't want to be like Peter. I don't deny my Lord. I don't want to go back to that hostile crowd. You say, well, how are you going to prevent that, preacher? How are you going to keep from coasting down? I'm going to let the Lord give me another charge every now and then. From reading his word, from being in his house, from following his will, about the time I'm coasting down, I need another shot, and I need another shot, and I need to keep on going on for God. Truth of the matter is, he'll be faithful to you if you give him a chance. Amen. Old Dr. Lee Robertson used to say, and so rightfully so, it takes three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You say, but it gets old, it gets boring. Well, let me ask you something. You'd rather be with a hostile crowd? How's it going to get out there? You're going to coast down if you don't keep getting another shot of energy, another time the Holy Spirit blesses you, another song you enjoy, another sermon that gets through to you, another time that God just encourages you and keeps you turning on for him. If not, you're going to coast down because the law of depravity and sin, entropy, will take you right on down. You'll run out of juice. Yes, you will. Outcome of falling far off here was not pleasant. Not pleasant. Now, I want you to look again. Why did he sit there? Why didn't he just flee with the others? Why did he follow, even afar off? I'll show it to you in the verse 58 if you look at it. In verse 58 that we read, but Peter followed him afar off in the high priest's palace, under the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants. Now, watch the last few words. To see the end. To see the end. To see the end. Well, things were not going good for Jesus. Kangaroo court, lies, false witnesses being brought. It looked to Peter like it was the end.
He finally hears them cry, "Crucify him, away with him. We'll not have this man reign over us." And to Peter and others, it surely looked like the end. But I got news for you, it wasn't the end. It just wasn't the end. It just looked like the end. You see, there was going to come a time. Going to come a time. I think I still hear a kid talking back to me somewhere back there. Listen to me. It wasn't an end. It was not the end. Because there were some women that went to the tomb and found it empty. And they came back to Peter and they told him about it. And the truth of the matter is, what Peter thought was the end was a victory.
Amen.
As the Lord came forth from the grave. Now I want to say and apply this to us. Let's don't just sit and wait and watch for the end. What you think is the end may not be the end at all. And the truth is, in the Lord, we don't have an ending. We have a beginning. And we're gonna any day now have that beginning where we leave earth and go to be with him. But in the meantime here, I don't want to coast down. I don't want to fall out. I don't want to drift aside. I don't want to, whatever little talent God's given me, I want to keep using it for him. I think about it. People that's going to stand at the judgment seat, and the Lord's going to say, one time you sang in the choir. One time you might have done special. One time you went soul winning. One time you run a bus route. What happened to you? What happened to you? Is the cause no longer as great as it used to be? Is the need no longer any good? Truth of the matter is the answer to all that. We know the answer to it. When you got excited about winning somebody to Christ, it's just as important now as it was then. When you got excited about bringing in a busload of kids to hear the gospel, it's just as important as it was then. When you got excited about being in the house of God and hearing the word of God and learning and growing in the Lord, and you saw the need and you enjoyed it and that's where you wanted to be, and then something happened, truth of the matter is just as important and just as needed as it ever was. And folks, if we don't work on ourselves with this, what got Peter was the mixture of weakness of the flesh, and it'll get us too. Because the flesh is downhill. Flesh is coasting down. The flesh is going to run down, no doubt about it. We look around today and we see a lot of Christians quitting. And it's too bad, and it hurts. But I got news for you. Peter's last message is the one we need to focus on. He came back and preached on Pentecost and had 3,000 saved.
Amen.
You know what Peter's message to you is? That while we failed yesterday, we can come back tomorrow. God will take us back. God will use us again. God will restore us. Oh, he followed afar off yesterday, but you can come back and walk with the Lord today.
Amen.
You can. That's the good thing about the Lord. He'll take us back.
Amen.
I do believe that when the rewards are passed out, a lot of good people are going to lose a lot of reward that they should have had because they quit before they got to the finish line. They declared they just wanted to sit down and see the end instead of serving till the end got here. And they thought the end had come and they didn't recognize it as being a victory. Peter got right. I'd hope tonight that you and I that feel a coldness in our heart, we'd get right about that thing. The songwriter wrote the old hymn. It's got a tremendous message. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy throne above. Oh, man. That's it. Lord, don't let me set by the devil's fire. Don't let me quit until you show up and say it's enough. Amen. I hope tonight you think about it, if nothing else. And ask yourself the question, do I feel myself coasting down? I hope you don't, but if you do, you need another shot of God's power, God's grace to keep you going. Father, thank you now for your word. Lord, we all made out of the same mud Peter was. Lord, we can have the same temptation, give into it, fail.
But yet, Lord, I want to be like him when he recovered. Lord, I want to be like him when he got his eyes open. I want to be like him when he saw the cause was the right cause. And yes, Lord, he gave his life for it before it was over. I want to be faithful to you, Father, to the end. I pray you'd bless our membership, bless our people, bless those listeners in radio land. Bless those that feel a coldness slipping into their heart and feel a coasting down that has taken place. And it seems to be the Laodicean church age where everything is growing cold. Help us, Lord, to stay warm and hot for you and close to you by letting your power keep us turning for you. Bless them.